Thank you, Dean. Thank you to all the elders who have been an extra strength for us, both Ashley and me. And over these past weeks, the elders made a recommendation to the governing board to give Ashley a severance support to the end of this month, and then also to reconsider as well. It's because we don't want our brother or his family to be hurt as he considers the next step that God has for him. And so our hearts are together, and we're a family. If you're here today, perhaps for the first time or the first time in a while, something you need to know, that this isn't just a church. We're a family. We're a family here. And you know, for some people that's a good thing and they're drawn to that. And for other people, they're repelled by that because they don't want to get too close. You might find out who you really are. And I don't want anybody finding that out. We're a family. We're close. We're real. And we struggle with that for sure. And you know, as I'm preparing for this message, wow. Folks, all I got to tell you is strap on, because the Lord has put a message on me. It was first for me, but I believe it's for all of us. And it's really a culmination of many, many of the things that have been said and preached and taught, discussed over these past weeks. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. So I invite you to turn there. And also, there is an outline that goes along with it in the bulletin. So please turn there. I can't see the clock, and that's probably a good thing. All I can say is that if you need to leave at 12, is that 10 of 12? If you need to leave, if you have a roast on or whatever, go ahead and leave. I invite you to listen to the message online. For sake of time, let me read this for you. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, people that are just like you and me, people that struggle, people that have issues, have problems. The Corinthian church seemed to have an extra amount of them. And he writes to them this. He says, "I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit than the one you received, or a different gospel from the one that you accepted, you put up with it easily enough." I had my devotions through the week in the morning. And you know, I have a routine, and we have a prayer card. And it gives us like an outline of putting on the armor of God. And so, you know, I do that, and been doing that through the week. And then, you know, out the door I go. Consciously trying to stay connected to the Lord, but you know, life sets in. We try to stay connected to the Lord and everything, right? Trying to stay connected to the Lord and everything that I'm doing. But you know, what I find is, before long, I'm cruising along on my own. As Brother Roger said the other night, you know, it's amazing how you can be spiritual, feeling, you know, really spiritual, connected one moment, and in the next moment, you can be as carnal and fleshly as the day is long. It's a struggle. Now, please understand, I know the Lord is with me, right? We know the Lord is with us. He is in me by the indwelling Holy Spirit. I know that He knows me and He loves me and He is with me. And Psalm 139 is something we've been looking at in the men's group I'm not going to take time. I was planning on it, but I encourage you to look at Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. You see, I know the Lord is with me, but to be in constant union, to be in constant fellowship with Him throughout the day is a challenge, is it not? To walk with Him in constant union is a challenge. And what happens, you see, is if we're not careful, we find ourselves veering off the road and into a ditch. And what you call them, what I call them, are ruts. Oh, I just feel like I'm in a rut. I feel like I'm in the desert. I feel dry as a bone. And however you want to describe it, we get into these things because we're not able to stay connected to the Lord the way we need to and the way we even want to. We struggle with this. It's a struggle. And I believe, as we read here, Paul is challenging, he is warning the Corinthian believers. And he's saying this, that you have to be on guard. You have to guard yourself. That's the main point, really. You have to guard, you and I have to guard ourselves to have the sincere and pure devotion to Christ, like a bride promised to one husband. I like the way the New Living Translation puts that first verse, verse 3. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. I fear for you, says Paul, that you're going to be led astray from pure devotion to Christ. Be on guard. Watch out. Listen. Look at your life. Our brother Ash just shared that he felt like he was doing all the right things and somehow he got off track. Brothers and sisters, I don't think he's alone. I think most of us, if not all of us, are off track in many ways. When you think about this analogy that Paul uses here, he uses the analogy of the bride and the groom, right? And in this particular instance, he's talking about Christ as the bride, as the groom, and we are the bride. And he says, you know, I promised you to Christ as a pure bride. Now, brides and grooms, I mean, a man and a woman naturally gravitate to each other. We've seen some of that naturally gravitating stuff happening right in our midst, haven't we? In fact, I announced to Chris and Mariah were engaged, was it 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago? I can't remember. But they decided that they're going to do things a little different, and they got married on Friday. So congratulations to them, and I'm going to be here for counseling for the rest of it. It's a little inside joke, folks. Anyway, moving on. A bride and a groom, a man and a woman, and I mean that, a man and a woman, naturally gravitate to each other. They, as they come closer together, they're devoted to each other. It's natural. It happens naturally. And if it doesn't happen, if there's dysfunction or infidelity, then it destroys the relationship. So it is with our relationship with Christ. It's supposed to gravitate, to be devoted to Christ and to Christ alone, but we are so easily led astray. We are corrupted by so many different things. You see, He wants us for His own. Jesus Christ, the groom, wants you and me for His own. He is jealous for us. He doesn't want to share us with anyone else. He wants us to have a sincere and pure devotion to Him. Amen? He wants us to love Him first and foremost, and He wants everything else to be second, and He doesn't want those things to come into competition with our devotion to Christ. For these Corinthians, as it is for us today, there was a different Jesus was creeping in. There were those that were preaching a different Jesus. There were those that were preaching a different gospel. There were those that were preaching about receiving a different spirit. And they were putting up with it. They were receiving it. They were embracing the newest fad, the newest fashion, the newest thing on the horizon. You know, I'm amazed sometimes we Christians, I don't know what it is, but it's like we want the latest news. We want the latest thing that's happening in Christianity. We want the latest prophecy. Why do we do that? Is not Christ sufficient? Is not our relationship with Him sufficient? There's nothing wrong with knowing, prophecies and what's going to happen. And okay, but let's not get fixated on that. I had somebody just recently. They sent me an email. They said, "Oh, Pastor, you need to listen to the speaker. He's a well-known, preacher, and I'm not going to use the name, but Pastor, you need to listen to him because he's speaking about prophetic events that are coming. It's going to happen. We need to be prepared." Are you not prepared already? What do you want me to do? To go dig a bomb shelter in my backyard and stock it full of food and wait there for Jesus to come? That's not what He called us to do. We'll go buy some land out in Montana on the side of a mountain and dig a cave hole and live in that? Is that what He wants us to do? Of course not. He wants us to be in the world but not of it. To be His light in a dark world, to shine, to be His ambassadors of reconciliation. You can't do that if you go isolate yourself somewhere, if you, move away from everybody. I talked to my brother last night. He said, "Well, that's true, but you want to stay out of the cities. Because cities are a mess." And we can agree with that, right? I mean, look what happened in Baltimore just a few weeks ago. The riots and all that. It's a mess. But what are we going to do? Extricate ourselves from the world and not be the salt and the light that He's called us to be? No. And we got to stop all that. Sometimes, I really wish there wasn't any Christian TV and there wasn't any preachers that were constantly, you listen to this preacher over here, and he says God is one way. You go and listen to this preacher over here, and he says God is another way. You listen to this preacher over here, he says that the spiritual gifts are gone for today. You listen to this one over here, and he says it's all about spiritual gifts. You've got to have them. If you don't, you're not a Christian. I mean, you listen to this kind of stuff, and you think God is schizophrenic. God is, He is just way out there. Why don't we just stay put in the Word? And let God speak to us from the Word and stop listening to all these popular speakers. For them, as for us today, different Jesuses are being preached, different Gospels are being preached. Some, even today, we know it, preach for financial gain, some for notoriety. Did you know you can make a killing preaching the Gospel? You look at some of the televangelists' life, boy. Live in million-dollar homes, drive around in a limousine, have a private jet. What is that? What is that? And we accept it. We put up with it. We tolerate it. We embrace it. You see, the centerpiece of the Gospel, watch this. You still with me? Say amen. The centerpiece of the Gospel is the crucified, risen, reigning Lord, Jesus Christ, and His saving grace to us who through faith believe Him and lay hold of it. We lay hold of the grace of God through faith. And the grace of the crucified and risen Lord and our faith in Him is the foundation and the support of our life. If that is not the foundation and the support of your life, when the wind and the rain comes, you are going to be knocked over and washed away. I believe it was Joe Smith. It was probably a couple of years ago. He was flying back and forth from Texas, which he's done a lot, and driving. But he was on a plane, I believe, and he was talking to this particular lady, and she attends one of these large mega churches out there, and I won't use the name. And she was so excited. "Oh yes, I'm a part of this church, and oh yes, I know the preacher. Oh boy, I'm excited. I'm part of this big thing." And as Joe talked to her, you know what? She didn't even know Jesus. She didn't even know the Gospel. She didn't know it. She was not saved, and she knew it. She said something to the effect that, I'm not really sure I understand this. What it means to be a Christian. "Oh, but I'm part of this great church. It's exciting. I'm in." We have to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, and His grace in our lives. This grace is the foundation and the support of our lives. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. This is the foundation and the support of our lives. This immense provision of His grace is the heart of the message to this world. This can be a message to affluent people in America, and it can be the message to these poor children in various countries that we saw through Franklin Graham's ministry, Operation Christmas Child. It can touch the heart of the one who's the lowest and touch the heart of the one who thinks they're at the top. You see, the message to us doesn't change. In an unsaved world, it moves us, motivates us to endure, no matter if you're doing well or you're under persecution. It's His grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our faith in His grace sustains us in the midst of life's trials. It motivates us in the face of difficulties. It carries us through tragedies. It enables us to persevere. Amen? Some of us, life is going pretty well. But some of us, life is tough. It is a struggle. That same grace is available whether things are going well or things are going tough. The grace of the Lord is here. It is available to us. Here's the problem. And I'm going to come at this a little bit backwards. And because of time, I'm not going to have readers read the scriptures and so on. But here's the problem. We read something like Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, where it says, the Lord Jesus says, many of you will say, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I don't know you. Here it is. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So here's the problem. We grab hold of this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So what do? Man, we start doing. And we try sometimes to make sure we're doing the right things, right? Brother Ash, he's doing all the right things. But here's the problem. You see, if we're not in constant connection and fellowship with the Lord and His grace, then we're going to do things out of obligation, out of expectation, out of duty. You're not going to do things out of who you are. You see, our doing has to flow out of our being. Who we are and what we are in Christ, in constant union with Him. You see, this is the problem today. We've got it backwards. We see the Scripture and we say, oh yeah, okay, I've got to do things for the Lord. As if He needs anything from us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. And He doesn't need you and me to do things. He's got it. Now, He wants you to, but He wants you to do it out of His strength, out of connection with Him, because otherwise, we burn out, we take the glory ourselves, we expecting that pat on the back, and when we don't get it, we get upset, and we start looking at other people, compare other people to ourselves. You know, this is our flesh. We have to do things flowing out of our being, who we are in Christ. Let me say it another way. The problem is that we are not developing our relationship with the Lord Jesus, and we don't know who we are in Him. We're not developing it. We might be saved. We know Jesus as our Savior. We're trying to follow Him as our Lord, but we have devotions, but we don't really spend much time with Him. We spend little or no time in His Word to really know Him. Allow Him to speak to us. And watch this. If He does speak to us, then we don't really take time to consider it, meditate on it, truly understand it, let it begin to define who I am and what God truly wants me to do. I'm a little bit jealous, my brother Ashley, over these past weeks, because he's had that time, he's taken that time to really seek the Lord, and he's getting clarity in his life. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? It's not just the preacher that needs to do it. We all need to do it. And you see, we have an enemy. Part of the problem is we don't believe that. We read it in the Bible, oh yes, Satan is our adversary, and you know, he comes against us. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. But we don't really believe that. We really don't. We don't, because we certainly don't act as if we believe it. It's hard enough, watch this, it's hard enough with the responsibilities that we have of life, right? We have work, we have family responsibilities, we have chores, projects, take care of the home, all these things that we have. It's hard enough, you know, to keep things in balance. Stay on track. Some of you have businesses. Some of you work long hours. You know what I'm talking about. But we have an enemy. And here's what Satan does. The great deceiver has devised schemes to lead us astray. You see, we're like, oh, I'm not like the Corinthians. Oh, no, no, not me. I don't believe in a different gospel. No, Pastor Tom, I'm good. I've got it. I believe in the true gospel. You know, I know who the Holy Spirit is. I've received the Holy Spirit. I know the true Jesus. But the problem is, we've been led astray a different way. I've taken some of these ideas from David Jeremiah and I've revamped some of them. And here's what he writes. And when I was going over this, I was like, man, Lord, this is me. You see, Satan knows as long as we Christians are walking close to God that we're going to be effective and we're going to be dangerous. We're going to be dangerous against him and his kingdom. And we're going to be effective for the kingdom of the Lord, Jesus. And so here's what he does. You know, he doesn't come at us with, oh, you need to go join this cult. No, he doesn't do it that way. It's not overt. It's not in your face. Here's what he does. Satan and his demons do this. They say to themselves and they say to us, I'm going to just keep them extra busy with activities that are not necessarily bad, but are just going to keep you extra busy. Sports, clubs, recreations, hobbies, overtime, extra jobs, extra projects. How about you? You extra busy? Like me? Here's what else he does. I'm going to tempt them to work long hours to maintain empty, lavish lifestyles. Oh, Pastor, I mean, we need to have money. Yeah, we do. How much? I have this recurring thought. Maybe you have it too. If I could just have a little more. If I could just make a little more money. If I could just sell another car, I could buy another pizza. If I could just sell another computer. If I could just this. A little more. Just a little more. Never content. Here's something else he does. I'm going to flood their mailboxes, their emails, their internet, their radio. I'm going to flood their TV with promotions, sweepstakes, lotteries, and get-rich-quick schemes to keep them occupied and chasing after money and material things. Is that you? I'm going to tempt them to overspend beyond their means and go into debt to keep them enslaved. I'm going to overstimulate their minds with TV, internet, social media, electronics, video games, all of these so that they don't spend time with God and they can't hear Him. I'm going to keep you extra busy. I'm going to discourage them from spending quality family time together because there's other important things that have to be done. They're urgent. Little by little, I'm going to destroy the family. I'm going to fill their coffee tables and their nightstands with newspapers and magazines, Christian ones, of course, novels, so that they don't read God's Word They don't develop their relationship with Christ. They don't know who they are in Christ. They have no basis of authority in their lives. And they won't deal with the issues in their lives because they don't know how. Sound familiar? I'm going to put glamorous models on TV, on movies, on internet, on magazines to keep them focused on the outward appearance so that they become dissatisfied with themselves and their spouses. I'm going to tempt both husbands and wives, if they're married or singles, I'm going to tempt them to work long hours so that they're too exhausted for communication, especially husbands and wives. I'm going to tempt them so that they're so exhausted for communication, too exhausted for intimacy, then, when they're tired and they're weak, I'm going to tempt them to have an affair. Get involved with somebody else. I'm going to tempt them to be involved with good causes so that they have no time for ministry or eternal causes. We struggle here in the ministry. There's an endemic reason why Ashley is one of us that does. And many of you who do. And the endemic reason is that because most of us don't have any time for ministry. Or at the very least, we don't make time for ministry. Our lives are filled with so many things that there's no time for ministry. Or you're just too exhausted. The idea of coming out on a Tuesday night and watching the kids, watching babies so that the parents who've been with kids all day long can have an hour of uninterrupted focus time in the Word, I mean, that's exhausting to think of that. And so we don't get it done. We have to pay somebody. There's nothing wrong with paying somebody, but, you know, we struggle with that. And that's just one example of many, many, many. We don't have time for ministry. We don't make time for ministry. I'm going to tempt them to work at feeling self-sufficient. Keep them working in their own strength so that there's no chance and no joy of seeing God's power working through them supernaturally. I got it. We got this. I can do this. God, we can do this. And God says, really? Well, what good is that? If you got this, don't you think we ought to be crying out to God for things that we cannot in an earthly, humanly way do? God, There's things here that unless you intervene, unless you show me what to do and how to do it, they're not going to get done, Lord. There's people that need to come to Christ, neighbors and friends that have, you know, I don't know how to do it, Lord. But as long as I say, I got this, we'll have another friend day. We got it, Lord. We're self-sufficient. And finally, I'm going to tempt them to see this politically correct culture around us. It's not really anti-God. This political correct culture around us, it's not really anti-God. In fact, you know, the more I listen to it, it's really got some good points. So, you know, we ought to really embrace some of the things that the world is saying. We ought to embrace it. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? You see yourself in any of these? See, because you see, if you don't have anything to compare it to, if you're not in the Word, which is our authority, you're going to say, huh, that sounds like a pretty good idea. And you won't even know that the Word says completely opposite of what the world is saying. The Word is our authority, but we won't read it. So do you see yourself in any of these? I see myself. I'm making changes. We've got to get back to the Word. There's a link there that I want to encourage you to look up. And if you don't deal with, you know, the internet and computers, then talk to me and I'll print you out a print of it. We've got to get back to knowing who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. This is a brief abbreviated version taken from Neil Anderson, Dr. Neil Anderson. I am accepted in Christ. I am accepted because I am saved. I am justified. I am reconciled. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I've put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, and I am saved. I am His child. I'm a friend of Jesus. I've been justified. Not only am I saved, but I'm secure. I'm secure because Romans 8 tells us I'm free from condemnation. Romans 8, 28 says, God is working in all things for my good. I am free from condemnation that anyone will bring against me. You know, people say some really hurtful things sometimes, don't they? And it can knock the wind out of your sails. Sometimes as Christians, we say some pretty hurtful things to each other, husbands and wives, families, family members. We can let those things just destroy us. Or we can say, you know what? I know you're angry. I know you're hurt because hurt people hurt others, right? And I don't receive that because, you see, I am not condemned in Christ. I am free in Him. I know who I am in Christ. And yes, I have some faults, but I'm not condemned. I'm not thrown out. I'm not thrown away. I'm pressing on. See, I've been established. I've been anointed. I've been sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. He is the one who's going to bring about completion of the work He started in me. So I'm saved. I'm secure. I'm significant. I am a branch of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I feel like a twig. But I'm a branch. I am connected into the vine. I am grafted into the vine. He's the true vine and I am the branch. And I've been chosen and appointed to bear good fruit. Fruit that will last. And I'm called to do that and I got to figure out what that means. But guess what? You're not going to do that unless you're in connection with the Lord and you're seeking and asking Him. I am God's temple, filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God ministers to me. He prays through me and even intercedes when I don't have the words. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, I'll be driving in the car and just thinking about different things. I'm like, oh, so I just don't know what to do. I don't have any answers, Lord. I'm completely baffled. I'm completely lost in this situation. I don't know where to go, what to do. I don't have the words. And God promises, even in that, the Holy Spirit is interceding through me and for me with utterances that cannot be uttered. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. And I'm a minister of reconciliation for God. And you know what? You are too. See, that's not just for preachers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 21 says, You are Christ's ambassadors, and God is speaking through you to reconcile others. I don't know about you, but I don't know what more awesome task that can be. I don't know what's more awesome than that. That I actually get to talk to people about God. And do I fail? Do I sin? Do I screw up? Yes. God has not said I have to be perfect. But He said I'm an ambassador. So I am going to live up to the light that I've received. I am going to try to do my best. I am going to live through His strength the best I can. But I don't have to wait till somehow I'm perfected. I don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to seminary to be a minister of God. All you have to say is, once I was lost, once I was blind, now I am found, now I can see, because of Jesus Christ. Finally, in summary of this, I found this on a statement, and I've had this for years. I keep it in my drawer. I love it. I'm going to say it, and it's, guess what? It's going to be about you. I am an awesome spirit being of magnificent worth as a person. I am really something. You are an awesome spirit being of magnificent worth as a person, you are really something. Not because of you, but because of what God has done in you and through you, through Christ. We need to get back to being yoked together with the one who gives us significance, the one who saves us, the one who keeps us secure, the one that gives us significance. You see, the yoke of Christ doesn't always seem easy. The burden doesn't always feel light, but what's the alternative? Think about it for a second. What's the alternative? We have to live under the precious reality of Christ's lordship, and it offers the only true restful life, the only true life that is in Christ. No matter what, what's the alternative? Live in your own strength? How many of you want to do that? You want to live in your own strength? And I've tried that an awful lot. It doesn't go very well. It doesn't work very well. I want to live in the restful, peaceful life that Christ offers. But He says, you've got to be yoked to Me. Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your soul. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. You will find rest for your soul. We live in a crazy world. I'm sure the Christians in that day probably felt the same way. They probably thought, this world is crazy. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I step back and I'm saying, this is insane. What are we doing? This is insane. This world we live in. And I understand that statement. You know, Jesus, please take me home. Please take me home. We don't know what we're doing. We need to be yoked to Christ, spend quality time yoked with Him so that we can have a restful, peaceful life, dwell in Him, and dwell in His grace. And you see, if we don't model that, we don't model that in our lives, how will anyone else see it? We have to get connected to Christ again. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that You will take my words and use them, Lord, to touch the hearts of Your people. Remove the things that were of Me and not of You. And Lord, speak what You want to speak to the hearts of Your people. Lord, let us not go away hearing just another message, but truly take the heart and begin to make some steps, some changes, and get yoked with You. I bless these people. I bless them for their attention to Your word. Thank You, Lord, that Your word is truth. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we are dismissed, any of you who would like prayer for any reason, we invite you to come on up. Our elders and one of our deaconesses will be in the front. Take time to consider what God is speaking to you, and greet one another with a holy love. Amen. God bless you all.